You think we have enough seats? I was asked last week, what do veterans do on Veterans Day? We remember those that didn't make it. So when we rise and say the pledge, which we're going to do here in a moment, I'll ask you to do the same. Please rise with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Every November for the last 3 years, we've asked you and your neighbors to come out, and we want to tell you exactly what's going on with the project, how it's affecting the overall scheme of what we are set to do. And I always have a couple of requests. One is that for time in memoriam, I've been asking people for your email address. And if you've given it to us, thank you. If you haven't, please do. Encourage you to go on our website, BlueLakeSpringsMutualWaterCompany.com, and you can apply, as you'll hear in a moment, to pay your forthcoming bills electronically if you choose to do so. I want to take a moment to introduce to you the members of the board of directors that are here. We're not here this morning this afternoon to give speeches. This is not a regular meeting of the water board. We're here because we want you to know exactly how the project is going and where it's going, how much has been done, completed, and it's considerable. And I think you'll agree with that, and how we're going to be finishing it off during the forthcoming year. So, with your indulgence, to my left is Andy Rich, who's the vice president of the board, Dan Crosby, Jeff Jones, Paul Penny, and Sharon Tobias. Bill Cover cannot make it. He's celebrating his 34th wedding anniversary. He chose his wife over being here. You can imagine that. We encourage him to do that. We want him to see his 35th. I just got back from Southeast Asia and brought back a runny nose. We have what is known as the Long Range Planning Committee. They're a strategic planning group made up of a couple of members of the board and a membership at large. And they do all of our kind of planning ahead of time stuff for a couple of reasons. First of all, you expect that. And second of all, the board needs it to plan accordingly through the future. And to that end, I want to reintroduce Sharon Tobias, who's here representing the long-range planning, and she's going to be talking about something near and dear to our hearts and soon to be yours, the new payment schedule. For the last untold number of years, you've paid the water company annually in January, and that is all coming to a happy ending. Now you're going to be paying six times a year, one-sixth, 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 et cetera. The first payment will be due in March, and we'll explain all that to you. It's going to incorporate all the costs that is part of your fee for the water. And best, it includes the interest rate we have to pay for our loan. And we're able to do that and keep the cost to the consumer, near the consumer, down. There's a rate increase every year that's been going into place for the last few years. And for next year, your rate increase will amount to $12 a year. $12. Not bad. Remember that when you brush your teeth tomorrow morning. Okay, Sharon?
Okay. They blew up a big invoice for me so I can read it. And yours won't be this big when you get it. Just so you know. So, as you know, the LRPC has been evaluating water usage and considering different rate structures. For the past several years, we've been monitoring, doing meter studies, looking at water usage. As we've been adding meters onto the system, we've looked to see, is water consumption changing as we add? I think we started with 200 meters, and at the end of last year, we were at 669. And at this time, in at the end of 2019, we have 1,342 meters in the ground, which is phenomenal. So at least I think it is. Hopefully you will too. So so after much review within the Long Range Planning Committee, the base rate structure will remain unchanged. We recommend staying with the same allotment threshold and consumptive rate level for 2020 until the remaining meters are installed and connected. The consumption levels and trends will continue to be analyzed quarterly to determine if any changes to the base allotment or consumptive rates are recommended to ensure the metered rate structure remains as fair and equitable as possible. So until everybody's on a meter and we can see, you know, people may adjust their water usage once they see how much they're using, we're going to try to just keep it the way it is. There will be a bi-monthly fixed base charge, formerly called the shareholder fee, that will cover the majority of the fixed costs. The base rate fixed charges includes the cost the water company incurs to provide the system capacity and maintenance of our fire protection services. There will also be a metered volumetric rate structure of $1.60 per 100 cubic feet for water use above the 350 cubic feet monthly allotment. And that's the same as it has been for as long as I can remember. Right. So,
yes.
All right. Thank you. The revenue from the metered consumptive charges is calculated based on covering our estimated annual variable costs. So anything over what we think we should be pumping is where we get our variable costs and that volumetric rate. And as Bob indicated, there will also be a separate line item for the USDA loan repayment. So about billing. And beginning in 2020, we will begin billing all shareholders every 2 months. The water meters are read at the end of February, April, June, August, October, and December. And so in each cycle, the shareholders will be charged 1/6 of the base rate and 1/6 of the USDA loan repayment, and then for any additional water consumption fee. Cabins with a meter will be charged $95.83 for the base rate and $39.33 for the USDA portion. That's $39.33, not $3,933. So, cabins without a meter will be charged $108.17 for the base rate and the same USDA loan repayment. Unimproved lots will be charged $65.50 for the base rate and $19.67 for the USDA loan repayment. And then combined lots and membership lots will be charged once annually for $25, which is an annual fee. So a special part of our billing is we now have an outside company handling our billing that hopefully will make it quicker for us to, easier for our staff, and streamline the process. So the first bills, they read all the meters on Halloween, and the first bills were mailed out early this week. And that's to anyone who has an activated meter. And like I got my bill, well, I didn't get it, but I could see it online. And it shows that I don't owe anything because we were underneath the allotment. But I could see what the bills are going to look like. So what you do to set up your account is if you go to the Blue Lake Springs website, Blue Lake Springs Mutual Water Company website, there's a box in the right corner that says pay my bill. And you go in there and it will ask you to create an account. And you put in your username, like your email address, a password that's something you'll remember, like my water or something, and or whatever you prefer. And you will need your web ID, which is on that statement. And if you don't get the statement, you can call or contact the water company and they'll give you your web ID. And then you are activated. You can go for payment options. We will do credit card payments through this online system. And you can set it up to auto pay every second month, whatever your balance is, or so you can put in your credit card information. And then there's another option for a credit card to be done over the phone using an integrated voice response. And that's also through our billing system. system. You will no longer be allowed to call the water company and have them process a credit card. You'll have to go through this system. And then the last option for payment is to send a check directly to the water company. And we're no longer accepting cash. So, but we think it'll be more streamlined. You'll know your bill is due on the 15th or 20th of the month, and you can just set it up for automatic payments on your credit card. And if you're traveling, you don't need to worry about it. I spoke really fast, as I always do. We're going to have this up later, because I don't want to distract anybody, but this shows the invoice, what you're going to get, and it shows the base rate, the loan repayment, late penalties, interest, miscellaneous, and your water usage if you had it. And then also at the bottom, it shows your previous usage, like most water bills do. If you had a water company in the Bay Area, they always do the little graph of where you were at. This will be available at the end of the meeting, so you can look at it. Did I miss anything, Lee?
No.
Okay. Do we want any questions now, or do we wait?
I think it's important to emphasize that with the base rate plus the USDA loan payment rate is only $12 a year more for 2020 than our rate was for this year. And when you get that statement, and you do the math in your head, you'll have a tendency to look at that and say, well, that's a whole lot more than what I've been paying, historically. And for next year, it's $12 more.
And the percentage change, that's a great point. The percentage change, the most was 1.8% from 2019.
So do I understand it that actually the cost of water is going down, but we are paying for the cost of the loan, which equates to probably more than $12 a month, but it's offset by the lower water usage?
We've had, as a part of the long range planning committee, we've had to really study the numbers, and we found a way to balance the equation such that the cost to you as a shareholder is only slightly more for next year than it has been for this year and prior years. So we're able to do both, to pay for both. But it took some rebalancing of the budget and things like that to be able to do that.
Well, how much is the debt service annually for the water company?
$436,000.
So you were able to find less $12 per times however many lot owners there are.
Yeah.
That's a lot of budgets.
Well, the new system is obviously giving us a whole lot of efficiencies that we didn't have previously.
Oh, okay, so your overhead is going to be down.
Well, it's
going to
be down because we're going to have no construction costs, except for something perhaps we don't anticipate. Every year our budget has been funding the rebuild of our system.
The capital expense.
Yeah, capital, exactly. And
repair and maintenance. The system until the upgrade that's taking place is a 60-year-old system, and it was, a lot of old PVC, a lot of old, copper pipes. Trees have grown a lot in the last 60 years, so a lot of ruptures. So a lot of money was spent just on maintaining the old system. So with the new system, which has a projected life of close to 100 years, gives us a tremendous amount of efficiency that...
Now I understand. Right. Yeah, so for the past several years, the water company has been funding all the engineering for this project, and you've been funding it by your shareholder fees. And so now we won't have a lot of those costs anymore. And also, when we said $12 a month, it's $12 a year is the increase.
$12
a month.
$2.
Yeah. So it's a dollar a month, I guess. Right. So
you'll reevaluate at the end for 2021. You'll again reevaluate.
Yeah, we'll reevaluate it every year. But I think as we sit here today, there's no reason to anticipate any significant increase. you know, some of you who may have been around when Lion Acres put in their new system, you know, the charge to the, you know, shareholder, individual shareholders was in excess of $12,000. You know, and we're doing this for $12 a year.
Andy, has there ever been a study as far as water consumption, summer versus winter months, when summer you have more visitors up here, more showers, more toilet flushing, versus the winter time when we have less people up here, less water consumption, as far as a different tier system for billing during the summer and winter? Is that something that has been discussed?
Well, yes, it has. Until we have meters in on the whole system, you know, it's been an inexact you know, study. You know, it started, I think, 3 years, 4 years ago, you know, when we had only a couple hundred meters. And, mm-hmm. you know, what our data is showing is that it's been very consistent year over year over year, summer versus winter, part-timers versus full-timers. You know, the percentages aren't changing that much, but until we've gotten through, you know, the installation of all the meters, you know, a thorough, complete analysis, you know, just can't be done.
Will there be maybe two different tier systems for billing depending on water consumption?
Well, we've built in consumption into the, you know, current rate structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will there be a change to that? Yeah, very possibly. But until we have all the data, Jenny, mm-hmm. I don't.
It comes down as far as conservation, as far as in our homes, I'm talking about being a full-timer, and as far as conserving water, and then also when the summertime when we have extra guests coming in, when we do have more water consumption, versus in the wintertime not having as many guests, or you conserve more during the wintertime. And I'm just wondering if there's been a study regarding a different tier system for water consumption and billing.
Well, for every, well, so we have 1,765 residents, and we have 1,675 different you know, dynamics within the household. You know, we mm-hmm. have families of two, we have families of one, we have, you know, my backdoor neighbor, you know, is up, you know, it's an Airbnb, they've got 14 people there this weekend.
Mm.
So, you know, coming up with an ability to take in all those variables and come up with a rate structure that to 1,765 people is fair is something I'll delegate to you.
Well, I'm just asking.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do philosophically is keep it simple.
Yes.
And part of keeping it simple is not to make radical changes from 1 year to the mm-hmm. next. So the rate structure for next year is almost identical to what it was mm-hmm. this year and last year and the year before that. Will we make tweaks going forward? Probably so, but until we have all of the data, until we can mm-hmm. figure out how to manage all these variables from the household, you know, the Airbnb party house to, you know, the widow, you know, who's living alone, it would take a Cray computer at the moment to figure out all those variables.
Excuse me. So this isn't a complaint. I understand that you have to do what you have to do while you're in the transition period. But to over-exercise your arm, patting yourself on the back about a 12% change per year. $12 change per year. You've got $95 for the base for the meter, plus the service for the individuals for the USDA loan. And you've got $108 for the people without a meter. It seems that when you get those meters in and you find out that many of the people with the no meters right now are occasional users or less, that there's going to have to be an adjustment next year to take into account the amount that have carried over onto the bill of the people without the meters this year. And so
mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody should walk away from this thing thinking that you guys have this figured out until everyone's got a meter in and everyone's been being treated the same. like I'm saying, this is not a complaint. I recognize that you've got to deal with this while you're doing a succession, but if next year you find out that the people with meters were undercharged, they could have another increase that it's just going to have to level the field. So I think we all recognize this is in flux.
True.
Mm-hmm. And I want to be clear about the cabins without meters. So you're going to start the year without a meter, and at some point you are going to get a meter. And once that meter is activated, where you've connected with your service line, you're going to start getting charged the cabin with a meter rate, which is a bit less. So,
but it's a bit less, but there's a consumption rate there also.
Right.
So
right.
It's until you get your new bill,
right.
You don't know that your bill's going to be a bit less. It's just going to
no,
be
but the rate. Base rate is less. I will tell you that I have been on a meter for 5 years now, and in general, I pay at the cabin with a meter with my consumption charges. I'm part-time, so just in all fairness, I'm here in the summer. I would say my total annual bill is never exceeds the price of a cabin without a meter.
Right,
so.
And all that has to change when everyone
right.
has a meter.
We recognize that, and that's
then
why
it
we're just like
that again. And
exactly.
Go for it. Just glad to have a new water system and to have water, because right now the water at our cabin, we could spit harder than it comes out of those pipes.
Okay. Has he been upgraded yet?
Not yet.
All right.
I mean, not yet.
Where's the hand?
It wouldn't take much.
He has to come to the office.
Sharon, 5 years ago when I had my water meter installed,
mm-hmm.
is that the same water meter or has it been upgraded?
That's the same water meter.
It's the same,
it's the same one.
Right. And they're all going to be the same?
They're all the same.
Going to be read
I don't
by,
know where
they're all radio reads.
Okay,
all
good.
Of them. Yours should be radio. I think maybe they upgraded
no,
yours.
No, he doesn't have a radio read. He has one of the manual ones.
Really? We need to fix that.
There's no Ooh. Manuals left.
There's no
There's
manuals.
There's no manuals left. We took them all
Everybody's
out.
Everybody's radio.
No,
we did that a few years ago. The nice man. I don't know your name.
Maybe a brief explanation about the base water rate and what goes into that to the fixed cost of the system. Requires and the availability for fire protection and
right.
that sort of thing.
So that's a good plug, and I didn't bring my notes. But the base rate includes everything it costs to have water, the readiness to serve, for you to be able to turn on that faucet and have water supply, and to provide the maintenance for any fire protection system, which is extremely important in our community. So, you know, it's, I don't have my, can I grab my notes? I walked away without them. So, that's a good plug. So the fixed costs are, the base rate is all the expenses the system has every month, even if you don't pump, treat, or sell a drop of water. It meets all our revenue requirements to fund all costs, including capital improvements and reserves. And we want our rate structure to be stable and predictable. So we wanted it to be a fairest approach for our members. So the included in the base rate fixed charges is the cost we provide the system capacity and maintenance of our fire protection services. Fire protection refers to the hydrants and storage that provide a community-wide benefit. As documented in the AWWA manual for developing rates for small systems, it is not uncommon that up to one-third of a small water utilities costs are related to the provision of system capacity for firefighting. So that is also what you're paying in your base rate structure. So does that help?
And then you have, you know, fixed expenses as far as your labor force
right.
and the water treatment. And
right. There's the chemicals, the water treatment, the pumping.
Those are more variable.
Some of them are
variable.
A portion of it is.
The more water you have to pump, the more it costs. So that varies from the amount of usage we have. So that's the variable part of it, of the base rate. It's pretty small, actually. The thing that costs the most is the trucks, the guys, the pipes, all the things that we have to do to maintain the place.
Did I confuse it? All right. So we'll have this up for you to look at later. You can see your what your bill will look like.
I missed part of your statement. You say your water doesn't taste good?
No, it doesn't come out very well. We don't have much pressure right now.
Yeah, why don't you talk to these guys?
It's great.
Talk to these guys after.
Just call the office. We could come and help you.
Yeah.
Even if you got, if you're still on the old pipes, that's, we could come and get, we could take care of it.
It's enough to get a drink or to.
Well, there's a little valve that's on there that we replaced a lot of them in a lot of places. Sometimes that's all it takes. It's very easy. Please call. To the issue of, do we revisit things? Oh, every year. In fact, we just set the rates for next year. We're working on the year following. Since we started this project, which was in about 2010, Calaveras County cut us off from a water supply. We had to go find water, and the results were grim. I don't know if you recall or not, but we spent almost 5 years looking for water and found it in two sources out of 18 that we were guaranteed would produce. Fortunately, with a change of general managers at Calaveras County Water District, we're now a proud customer of theirs. We have a lot more control over the costs. We had to defer the costs that we were spending at the time on improving the system to search for water. That was an expensive operation, but we can't operate a system without it. We've also learned that we can have plenty of water, but if we don't have sufficient piping, that won't work either. So we developed the program that we're in now that is about 80% complete, and you'll hear about it from the superintendent of the work crews in a moment, to improve the water system. And one of the real delights is we've added 55 hydrants, and the fire department is just thrilled. And your insurance companies might be interested as well. I know that Jeff, for example, if I could give you up for a minute, called his insurance company and says, hey, they just put a hydrant in down the street from me, and his rate went down. Yes, ma'am?
85, not 55.
85?
I don't think they're all in.
Well, anyway, there are lots of them.
55 in now.
How about 55 of the 85 are new? Yes, sir.
So to your knowledge, has that kept people from getting canceled? Because we're hearing more and more people getting canceled.
No. If I were to get the insurance companies to admit why they're doing it, I could probably be a rich man. Yeah, I think the reason they're doing it is because the experience, specifically in Paradise.
Right.
I would point out that as a shareholder, being proactive with your insurance company it costs nothing and may be a reduction in your annual insurance rate, let alone maybe not get canceled. When we got the fire hydrant is actually right in front of our house, and I took a picture of it and I sent it to the insurance company and told them what the homeowners association was doing to try and mitigate fire hazards, and our rate went down $100 a year. So it wasn't much, and probably since the meter the prices have gone up every year, and we might be back to where we were when the meter went in.
Well, and then too, Jeff, if you think about the 100-foot defensible space, as far as cleaning up our properties, thinning out, limbing up, and cutting down, that has been also, this past year has done a lot in our community as far as people are concerned about Paradise, and they've been really, really stepping up and cleaning their properties.
And a lot more can be done, I might add.
Oh, a lot more can be done. But,
well, but I just tell you from the aspect of the water company, we're doing what we can.
Yeah.
And one of the beauties of this redo is that pipe that's going in the ground, according to people that make the kind of pipe we use, say it's good for another 80 to 120 years. that takes care of all of us. And I mean that in a positive sense. And the hydrants, they're not a bonus. That's something we designed. And thanks to our engineers, we're continuing to look at the firefighting piece. And part of what you're paying is for that. I think it's money well spent. So without further ado, let me introduce Dave Hicks. Dave's the general manager of the water company. He's been with our water company, I think, for 32 years. He knows a little bit about what goes on. And he will, in turn, be talking about a couple of things like, when the power goes out, can we still get water to our house? And I dare say when the power was out up here and you turn on the faucet, the water came out. And you're thinking, well, of course. Well, no, it's not of course. We have to get the water into the tanks, and it's electric pumps that do that. So when the power goes out, our pumps go out. Well, we've got a brand new, we've got a generator that we're going to, we already have a generator, and we can generate electricity, and we can pump all the water we need. I don't want anybody worried about the fact we don't have enough water yet.
So just one question before Mr. Hicks. You got a deal with Calaveras Water. You got the new general manager that was nothing but disappointing over there. Is it a long-term deal if we get another piece of work over there? Is the contract with Calaveras Water long-term so personalities of who they hired doesn't compromise our water?
Yeah, there are two questions there. I'll take the second one first. Yes. The general manager of Calaveras County Water District is our former attorney who authored the contract that we have with Calaveras County Water District. And the prior general manager took a better job for all the right reasons. And he was the one that got us water in the first place after his predecessor says it was illegal to sell us water.
Right.
And we asked for the authority on that. We're still waiting. And Dave Egerton did an incredible job with the water company, and we still bear the profit of that.
And it's a long-term deal.
Yes, it is. And there's a couple of stipulations in it. One, we meet a couple of times a year, which we do. We have to maintain our wells, which we are. And there's a certain amount of gallons that we have to purchase every day, and we do that. And I will tell you without question, with the little expertise I have in the water business, it is an excellent deal, and I don't see it going anywhere. And there's an option for an opener in there if necessary on the on the part of either side. So Dave Hicks.
Okay. I'd like to introduce a couple of our people that work for us, our staff. We have Lee Schmeeds in the back there, Administrative Operations Manager. She does a great job in the office. You probably talked to her on the phone before. And we have Pam Bowman back there. She's working with us on the project, and she helps out in the office and also does a great job. So I'll just introduce those two first because I want to go into, oh, and one other thing too. I mean, everybody, we've been hearing about the LRPC, but I want to tell everybody who is on that committee because they have done a fantastic job of analyzing water usage and numbers and just amazing stuff. And it goes into more than just rates. It's just looking ahead, asset management plan for the future, how we're going to develop or keep our system going and what replacements we need to do. I mean, this committee is fantastic, and I just want to point out that Andy there is on it, Sharon. We have Jeff Jones on there, and Joe Morgan. Some of you know him. He's not here today, but... also Sharon. I mean, I did say Sharon, didn't I? Who did I leave out? Tom Schneider is the chair, and he is just fantastic. So I just want to note these guys. They've really helped in this whole development of the whole project and looking ahead to the future too. So then I'm just going to jump over to the I've gotten some during the power outage last week, or a little while back after the windstorm, and before that and after that, I've got questions about, you know, how are we doing? We have enough water for this and all that. So I just want to talk about that a little bit. So on any day of the week, our average storage capacity is 1.2 million gallons. We have two big tanks, one on each end of the subdivision here, and we have a lot of water in storage. The water flows out of those tanks by gravity. So there's no pumping involved in that. Just got to keep them full, though. You got to keep get it up there. But so we have about 10 days of storage under normal conditions in the off season. So when this last thing happened, we had plenty of water. I mean, it was out. What was that out for, Jeff? I think you're
5 days.
5 days. Was it five full days? Anyway, we had. We started out on that thing with 500,000 gallons of water in one of our tanks. The other tank is filled automatically by CCWD. So I'm talking about just our one tank. So we had 500,000 gallons in that tank, and so we had about 10 days. Now in the summer, we're not going to have that. We're going to have about 4 days maybe of storage in the peak of summer. So as was mentioned before, we have an agreement with CCWD to buy water. But they all, in the agreement, it also states that they will help us with fire protection if we needed it. So suppose that there was a fire started nearby and it looked like the power was going to be off for an extended time and we couldn't run our pumps. Then that we can turn on our connection at Linda Drive and get water from them. Now, in case, and that's in our agreement. They and I've also clarified it with them before any power shut off or storm or anything like that coming up. If something happened to them or they could not. provide water, I purchased a generator that will run our highest producing well out there at White Pines. So we have a generator at our treatment plant. We have a generator, a new one. Well, it's not new, but one that will power the well so that we could actually supply ourselves with water from tank six up there because it's the highest tank. So all that it can gravity flow. All we need to do is pump it up there. We have a generator to do that, and now another one to run the well. So that's just give you a little background on that, because we don't just think, oh, we got a lot of storage, because I know there's situations where, you know, extended outages or a fire, different problems. One year, the river. There was a big landslide. It was quite a while ago. But they had a big landslide into the Boards Crossing area. And it, the CCWD gets their water from the river. So it kind of made it impossible for them to pump. So, but at the time we had, well, our wells were doing good and we had a lot of storage. So we, you know, stuff like that can happen. That's what I'm just trying to say that it's not all necessarily fire or PG&E, but we're in about the best shape we can be in for those kind of events. So I just want to let you know about that. So now I'm going to go and introduce our guests. We have John Pedry. He is the project manager on our project. He designed the project, and he works closely with Mazingo. He does progress payments. He just does a lot of work for us, and works. And he's very into the project. I mean, he's hands-on, and he's a very good guy. And we have Mark France, who's the superintendent with Mazingo Construction. Along with him, we have Brad Lester. He's the engineer for Mazingo. So the engineers work together. We all, and John works closely with these two guys. And we're pretty happy with the way things are turning out. And I'm just going to ask Mark to come up, say a few words about how the progress of our project, let you know how that's going.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Dave said, my name's Mark Franz. I act as the superintendent on the water project. We had a really productive season this year. After a long winter, we didn't get back in quite as early as we thought, but we basically ended up building about 75, almost 80% of the system this year. So at the moment right now, we've put in 50,000 feet of the 64,000 foot total on the job, which equates to about 9.5 miles of new pipe. So basically at this moment, everything on the west side of Moran Road is a fully functioning system, from 55 new fire hydrants roughly, to pressure reducing stations, to ARVs. It's a fully functioning system ready for everyone to hook up. The last 3 weeks or so, we've been working on paving the trench lines, cleaning the project up, doing little punch list work, that we were ready for winter when it hits this year. We want to have all the slopes cleaned, all the ditches cleaned, everything looking good, so when the weather hits, we're ready for it. We're actively working on the booster pump station over on Cypress Point. The building's complete. We have our electricians coming in actually this next week to start roughing in wire. We have about 90% of the parts we need to plumb the pumps, and there's a very good chance this season that the booster pump station will be ready to go. PG&E got power to it in the last couple of weeks, so it's progressing along nicely. We are going to start a little extra project that was added out here on Blue Lake Springs Drive, probably middle of next week, that brings some new pipe out of the tank site here up Blue Lakes Drive and ties in at Linda. So that'll be our focus in the next week and a half to get that taken care of. And then that'll be about it for this season. We're probably going to try to wrap things up by, maybe mid-December if the weather holds out. And then as soon as weather's good enough next season, hopefully it's early, we can get back in and start finishing the east side. As I said, we have about 14 or 15,000 feet of pipe to put in over there. Service connections, basically the same as this side over here, but a lot smaller. And then we're hoping by the end of May that you guys are going to have a 100% complete, fully functioning system. Yes, sir.
So I hope we don't have another dry winter this year, but at what point in time, I get the idea of having to shut down. I understand shutting down a construction project takes some time, but will you shut down anyway at a given time and just live, if we have a dry winter, you just start back up later, or will you keep trying to hedge?
We keep going. We'll keep going as long as the weather holds.
Spoils pipe.
But we have every bit of dirt on this job is off-hauled. All the dirt we put back in the ditch is imported from a rock plant. So we have to take the dirt that we dig out to a certain location, spread it out, compact it, and build a fill. So if it's too wet to access the dump site, then we're pretty much shut down on the job. So we just kind of take that day by day, and we just can't get ourselves in a pickle with the SWEP issues in the State Water Board. There's things that we have to do to keep the project in their parameters and not have any issues that way. So to say we're just going to shut it off at a certain day, it's not really the case. We're just going to take little pieces at a time and try to keep things buttoned up tightly.
Thank you.
Yes.
You addressed the fact of the culverts and having the debris in the culverts. I brought it to the attention of the board a couple of months ago. our area has not been dealt with, and it's absolutely the debris of the road construction. I'm going to call it like a concrete mixture. My concern is there is some blockages that's going to cause flooding. And so it's not something that we can do possibly in the spring. I mean, it really, thank goodness we haven't had a wet fall, but if we did, there would be a lot of problems.
We actually just walked the project, a huge portion of it, with the county last week. Us in the county, John Pedry, Dave, to identify spots that they're concerned about that might be issues with construction, or spots that they see that might be from debris from all the tree work that's being done. So we're working right now to identify spots that could be a potential issue, and getting them taken care of.
How do I find out? Because I want it to be correctly addressed. I have photographs that's very clear that it's gray concrete matter in the culverts of like 2 months ago that has now sort of settled in and forest debris has got on top of it. But I mean, the buildup underneath it is definitely road construction issues. So how do we find out what areas are going to be addressed before flooding ends up happening?
Are you on Maryland?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know. And we went and looked, and we'll note that so Mark can see it.
Okay.
We're not going to forget about you.
Yeah.
I just haven't got back to you like I should. Probably should have, but I remember you bringing it up, and I haven't. It's part of our...
Right. Well, I always believe in being proactive. I'd rather bring it to your attention now and not wait to do it when there's damage.
Yeah, and like Dave said, if you bring in a concern to the office, we'll hear you out, and we'll come out and take a look at it and do what needs to be done.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So, for those of us who are asking on the road, I understand, barring anything unexpected, we can expect to be hooked up. We have our service box in, but we haven't received our connection letters.
They're sending out letters as
letters
we speak.
Letters went out to the west side.
Right on.
Yeah, so basically everything on the western side is complete.
But your box is there, your new one?
Yeah, the box is there, but we haven't got
it. They just went out, so you should be getting one pretty soon.
And Mark, you might bring up the exception of Blue Lake Springs Drive and part of Moran, that we won't hook those services up until...
Yeah, there is a small portion right here on Blue Lakes Drive, and then a small portion of Moran Road between Blue Lakes and Rainy, I believe, that isn't going to be finished this year because we actually connect new services onto the existing main. There's no new main that went in, and that can't be done until after the booster pump station's finished. So, you know, there's 30 or 40 locations maybe that aren't going to be done this season. Yes, sir.
I'm up on Coyote Hills in Unit 12,
uh-huh.
And you've got the driveways halfway up the street, and the other part, they just went so far and then quit cutting the driveways. Are you going to come back and start digging them up? And if I come up, say, on a Thursday night or something, will I still be able to get into the driveway?
Yeah.
As you dig it up, you'll fill it in right away, so
absolutely.
It won't be a open ditch?
Yeah, no, our operation is a dig, lay, backfill operation, so we go kind of seamlessly, and everything we open up that day is put back that day.
Because you've only cut, like, halfway up the street, and then the other half hasn't been cut.
Right, which that's what we'll...
We're
planning on coming back next season, finishing up all the saw cutting and heading
to
the top.
When you put in the main pipe, when you're digging the main trench, will you go over to where the meter's going to go also, or will they come back and do that later?
We do that in a separate operation, so we get all the main installed,
and
then the crews
meter.
Fall back and start punching in all the services.
Fantastic.
Talk about your thumping too, Mark. You're doing
So the way we opted to put in the services on this particular job to keep your roads in good condition instead of cutting trenches across the road in, you know, 900 separate locations, we have what we call a thumper. It's basically a small underground boring machine that works with air pressure. And we basically make a hole under the earth that we pull the service through and connect it. So there's not a whole bunch of saw cutting and paving and potential for road failure and bumps. It takes us a little longer to do it this way, but it's a much better product at the end.
Mark, with all the different heavy equipment, and I know we've had other heavy equipment in for tree removal, our roads have suffered a lot this year, last year. And you've done a great job repairing, and even to, I know on Dean there was one big divot, you paved over that. Thank you very much, because you go up there and it's you get a little chunk out of it. But as far as road maintenance, what is the object as far as when you're repairing the roads? What are you doing as far as damage you've incurred, or if it's chipping on the side, or how much can you repair or do an additional work, or where do you draw the line as far as what you can do and what you...
I mean, we have to follow the county spec, mm-hmm. as far as road paving goes, and they have certain dimensions that we're required to pave back if our ditch is so far into the road.
Mm-hmm.
When we began the project, we videotaped the roads, so we have really good footage of how things looked before, mm-hmm. and what they look like now. And we take it, it's kind of a street-by-street basis.
Mm-hmm.
We walk it with the county, and we decide how we're going to go about putting it back,
mm-hmm.
and the best possible way. And there's places out here that we've only been required to pave maybe, you know, a 50-inch wide ditch that we're paving 72-inch wide ditches because the road's in bad shape, and we're mm-hmm. just trying to clean things up the best we can.
Now, did the county indicate they might come back and do any repair work?
They have not, no.
Yeah, come on.
No.
Well,
they've never done anything for 15 years.
Yeah, they try to get as much out of us as they can.
Sure.
Which part of construction.
Well, Mark, you're doing a great job. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and I know all of us here in Blue Lake Springs appreciate the work that you've done on repairing
the
roads.
We appreciate working here. Like I said at the last meeting, we're all from here, born and raised here. Everybody on the crews that's working up here is, you know, from either Sonora, Murphy's, Arnold. So we're just happy to be here working at home. It doesn't happen very often. So, any other questions?
Where are you going next?
I
don't want to see
tell
you.
Tell them where you are, Mark.
I mean, project-wise, not you personally.
So the next phase of work is going to be, like I said, right here on Blue Lake Springs Drive.
Yeah.
And that'll take, you know, possibly a week and a half to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then off to the other side of the golf course.
Oh, okay. That's right. That whole greens area in there wasn't...
Exactly. We have about...
okay. You know, I was thinking like 15, you're going to pick up all your equipment and get out of town and all that.
No. We're going to stay here. We'll be here.
Good.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Good job. Just a couple of notes, and then I'll ask you if you have any questions. One of our jobs today is to bring answers, and we have them. So if you have any questions, please ask. There are maps here I'd ask you to look at, check your property. The engineers are here that have put this whole process together. It's not too late to ask where's the lateral, that's the hookup that we use in the main line, get the water onto your property, where's that going to go if you don't know where it is. We covered the issue of driveways. In the California budget this year, there is $9.8 million set aside from gas tax for Calaveras County. Now, unless you read the budget, and not many people read budgets, you don't know that. And that excludes Angels Camp, because they get a separate allocation. If you're curious about your roads here, you want to get a hold of your supervisor and say, where's that money going to go? That won't cost you anything but a phone call. I don't speak for her. I come from the Bay Area. Rata, the roads up here are supreme compared to what we've got. Over the last few months, I've got a number of inquiries from people saying, you know, I didn't know anything about this project at all. Nobody told me anything, and on and on and on and on. And what I like to say is, you haven't been living on the moon, have you? That wouldn't be nice. So I said, okay, well, tell me, what can we do to better get the word out that we haven't already done? So if after the meeting you've got any ideas, you don't have to raise your hand now. We'd love to hear them. In fact, we keep book on, when we send out billings and notifications to the properties, we know what goes inside the envelope, we know what's delivered to your house, and we know everybody reads everything we send in the mail. So, any last questions?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
It has to do with our individual connection and the ditch and all of that. Is there going to be like a gold rush to get contractors up here that we have to, you know, as a property owner, have the ditch dug?
You mean to hook up to the meter box?
Yeah, to our
If you go on our website, we have a list of plumbers. You hire the plumber who's got what they call a witcher. The witcher's a device that digs a ditch.
Yeah, right.
And it goes from the meter box to your house.
And you have 6 months to hook up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's
I think a lot of people I've talked to think they have to build a new line from the box to their house. And that's not usually the case.
At least
my experience was I bought 10 feet of pipe and I did my neighbor's and mine with 10 feet of pipe.
Yeah,
so the meter was right near my old box, so all I had to do was go down to where my line went to the house. So you don't have to build, dig a whole new line. You just have to connect to your old line with the new line that they put in. So it's a sweet deal most of the time. If you're one of those guys that has your box in the back of the house,
it is.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we got the place in April, so I'm pretty new, and I don't understand everything about plumbers or whatever. So you have a list of people, right? So and I know you don't you can't recommend anybody, but I don't know anybody. So if I call somebody, do they know what to do? Like you were saying,
yes.
This and that. I don't understand.
So we've talked to all the plumbers on the list, and we don't put them on the list unless they're bonded and licensed. And we told them exactly what we expect of them, what our specs are.
Okay, so
yes, and if there's any question in your mind, call us.
Okay.
In fact, if you want to call and ask for Dave, say, hey, I've selected this guy.
Okay.
If he's a problem, we'll tell you. If he doesn't say anything at all, then we sponsor him, yeah.
We send
I would say, though, to add on to that, do get two or three bids.
Okay.
Because there is some fairly significant variability in
email.
How,
ask me for the email address again.
Go back.
Email address. I did. Oh, you did.
Yeah,
okay.
I will. Through that process, and, you know, one guy was 10% flat bill, and the highest guy.
How long does it take actually to get it done? How long's the job?
How long does it take?
To get it connected.
I don't know. How far do you have to go?
I really don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's.
So,
yeah, well,
it'd be one day or one or 2 days.
Okay.
How good are you digging? I mean, it's not difficult.
Okay.
Although your insurance company would probably, they might like it better if a plumber did it. The nice thing if a plumber does it, something goes sour and then it's on the plumber.
Yeah.
You know, if you've never done any plumbing or any work using PVC pipe or any type of pipe in the ground, I get a plumber.
Okay.
You only do it once.
Yep.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have an idea of how, you said a lot of these meters are all functioning system. Are they all hooked up and ready to go? Or they haven't? In other words, I'm trying to figure out how busy these plumbers are.
No, the laterals I talked about, those are pieces that go off the main pipeline.
Right.
We are putting those in. That's the contractors doing that work. Once the meter is put in and you're notified the meter is there, then you go to the list of the plumbers.
Right. So
now we're giving everybody a 6 month grace period.
This is really good to hear.
Okay. Some have already figured out, well, if I stall that, I'll pay for the water. We got that figured out too.
We know where we live.
Yeah. Well, there's a little bit of that. Sure. Any other questions at all? Okay, I want to thank you all for coming, and I know it's a time well spent. I'm going to say that. I'd encourage you to talk to, especially the engineers, if you have any questions, or to Dave, if you have anything to do with the water company. And a couple of years ago, we said, please be please be patient with us. Trust the process in you have, and we appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to know where you live. You have the metal deck, right? You have the deck with the metal?
Yes.
Yeah, I know where you live. So we'll come and look at that. Are you concerned about the crush?
Cypress.
That valve? There's a Y there. Yeah.